Radio Prague News.
Details have been given of the Chinese president's visit to Prague. Czech councils are flagging up their support for Tibet. And in football, Sparta Prague prepare for Lazio Rome. Details have been released of the visit to the Czech Republic by Chinese President Xi Jinping on March the 28th and 29th. It's the first visit by a Chinese head of state. The Chinese president will visit his Czech counterpart, Miloš Zeman, at both Prague Castle and the Lani residence outside Prague. A business forum will also be attended by Xi Jinping and a large delegation of accompanying Chinese businessmen. Czech television reported that the president will also have a working breakfast with the Czech Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka. President Zeman has suggested the Chinese are ready to invest around 45 billion crowns and signed around 20 agreements during the visit, which is the only European stopover on a trip to the United States. And staying with China, a record number of Czech local and city councils are due to take part in the annual Flag for Tibet Day on Thursday, a protest against the Chinese occupation of the country. 723 councils have said they will hang Tibetan flags out on March the 10th, up from the 697 who promised to do so in 2015. Some councils are reportedly intending to leave the flags until the end of March so that they'll be there for the visit by the Chinese president. Prague City Council says it will not take part in the move. It recently agreed a controversial twinning agreement with Beijing. Czech Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka and Deputy Prime Minister Pavel Bělobrádek have begun a two-day working visit to the state of Bavaria. They have met with the president of the region, Horst Seehofer. One of the main targets of the trip is to firm up cooperation on research and development between the Czech Republic and Germany's most affluent region. The question of improved rail links was also to be raised. The Czech Prime Minister is also scheduled to visit the site where the Munich Agreement was signed in 1938 by France, Germany, Italy and Britain. The move agreed the takeover of the border Sudetenland by Nazi Germany and sparked the breakup of Czechoslovakia. The Czech government has agreed to provide in future home loans to families seeking to buy a flat or house. The offer will be made to families with children aged under 36. Loans can range from 50,000 to a maximum 600,000 crowns with the normal payback over 15 years. This year, around 100 million crowns has been earmarked for such loans from the State Fund for Housing Development. And the Ministry of Environment has been tasked with preparing a new law to cut the country's dependence on fossil fuels, that's oil, coal and natural gas. The move was agreed on condition that steps will not undermine economic competitiveness. Environment groups have been pressing for the step, saying it's needed to meet European climate change goals. And finally, in football, Sparta Prague will face Lazio Rome at home in the last 16 of the Europa League on Thursday night. Coach Zdeněk Čestný says he'll not be undermining the Italian team, although they are only eighth at the moment in the Serie A league. He says he was impressed by Lazio's last Europa League performance against Turkish side Galatasaray. Čestný refused to comment on whether Sparta's top striker, David Lafata, will play from the start. The return leg will be played in Rome on March the 17th. Sparta have never made it to the last eight of the Europa League. I'm Chris Johnston, and that was the news.
Hello, this is Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today, officials explain why Prague isn't joining other Czech cities and towns in supporting a Flag for Tibet campaign. Is a plan to ban junk foods from Czech school cafeterias just too strict? And 1 year on, how are things going for ethnic Czechs from Ukraine resettled in the old country? All that's coming up in today's programme. Hundreds of municipalities across the Czech Republic are on Thursday taking part in an event entitled Flag for Tibet, prominently displaying the Tibetan flag in order to mark the anniversary of the Chinese invasion of that country in 1959. However, Prague City Hall is once again abstaining from such displays. Dominic Yoon has been finding out why.
This year, more than 700 municipalities across the Czech Republic are partaking in the Flag for Tibet event. Examples include a Tibetan flag prominently displayed in the main square in the Czech town of Jihlava, one displayed on the central building of the Liberec Regional Authority, and one displayed on the town hall buildings of both the Prague 10 and Prague 4 districts. Flags will also be displayed from the windows of private individuals, by various public officials, celebrities, schools, cinemas, and so on. 2016 represents the largest number of municipalities taking part in this annual event, begun in 1996. Many Czechs view the Tibetan cause, with the country having fallen under Chinese communist dominance during the 1950s, as something of a parallel to the plights of Eastern European countries who once fell victim to Soviet domination. Former President Václav Havel was a vocal supporter of Tibet and counted the Dalai Lama as a personal friend. Some leaders, for example in the Chomutov region, failed to agree on partaking in this gesture. And for the second year, Prague City Hall, which recently passed a sister city agreement with Beijing, recognizing a, quote, unified China, is also not taking part in any Flag for Tibet events. Christian Democrat councillor Jan Wolf explained why.
We have rules in place at City Hall that only permit the displaying of three flags, that of the Czech Republic, the European Union, and understandably the yellow-red Prague flag. No flags of other nations will be permitted here.
Žádné vlajky jiných států na magistrátu viset nebudou.
The regulation means that not only will Tibetan flags not be displayed at City Hall, nor will Chinese ones during an upcoming visit by Chinese President Xi Jinping to Prague on March 28th. The activism underlying the Flag for Tibet campaign has also run into a counter-narrative. Many Czech business leaders are seeking to cultivate closer ties to China and fear causing any offence over a matter which the Chinese have long declared settled. President Miloš Zeman has been perhaps the most vocal advocate in terms of wooing Chinese investment. China Energy Company Limited recently invested in a number of Czech businesses, including buying stakes in Travel Service Airlines, co-owner of Czech Airlines, and Slavia Football Club. More deals are set to accompany Chinese President Xi Jinping during his visit. The Dalai Lama last visited Prague in December 2011.
That report was by Dominic Yoon. Now, a proposed new directive banning the sale of junk foods in schools has elicited strong protests from students and headmasters alike. The list of banned foods compiled by the Education Ministry got high praise from nutrition experts. But schools themselves say it's so strict, it would leave school cafeterias selling nothing but apples and mineral water. Daniela Lazarova reports.
There are few places where junk food sells as well as in schools, and in recent years, health experts have increasingly criticised the food that Czech schoolchildren consume. Soft drinks, chocolate bars and potato chips abound, and many children skip breakfast in favour of a snack from the school vending machine in the course of the morning. The Civic Initiative for a Healthy School Environment, and others like it, recently succeeded in getting the authorities to make a move to change this, and the Education Ministry, in cooperation with health food experts, compiled a long list of banned foods and substances. While nutrition experts have high praise for the result, students and headmasters alike say the proposed norms go way over the top and are utterly unrealistic. Stepan Kment, president of the Association of Secondary School Students, told Czech television the authors of the new norms were oversellers.
It does not make any sense to ban things like muesli sticks and cookies in school cafeterias and vending machines when school canteens serve things like meatballs and pizza. It would just drive the cafeterias and vending machine owners into bankruptcy.
The long list of banned foods includes foods high in sugar, energy drinks, caffeine, but also dressings, mayo, mustard and ketchup, which are traditionally used in sandwiches. It also bans fruit yogurts, processed cheeses, sweet and salty pastry, unhealthy additives and artificial sweeteners. Yeti Keen, head of the Association of Grammar Schools, says it goes too far.
These
days you'll find artificial sweeteners everywhere. If the norms are strictly adhered to, I could say, with a bit of exaggeration, that the school cafeteria could only sell mineral water and apples.
Secondary school students are writing an open letter to the Education Minister and collecting signatures under a petition calling for the norms to be modified or restricted to primary schools only. They also think health foods in schools should be subsidised and school canteens should be made to cook healthier school lunches. The Education Ministry has said it will take note of the feedback from schools and consider amendments before passing on the proposed norms to the government's Legislative Council.
Thank you for that report, Daniela Lazareva. This time last year, there were a lot of reports about ethnic Czechs from Ukraine being repatriated to the old country. But how have they found it here and what are their lives like today? Daniela Lazareva speaks to an expert on the subject in this week's edition of Panorama.
A year has now passed since the start of a government-sponsored repatriation program for ethnic Czechs from Ukraine. In its initial stage, over 200 people asked to return to their old homeland over the unstable situation in the country, and hundreds more now want to take advantage of the opportunity to resettle in the Czech Republic. I spoke with Jarmila Lomozová from the Catholic charity Caritas, which has been assisting their integration, to find out how they're faring a year on.
Altogether, there are more than 260 persons who entered the repatriation program. Most of them have already fully integrated. 180 persons have already moved from the hotel where they had been accommodated after their arrival, and now they have jobs and permanent accommodation.
What assistance were they given from the state and from your organization, Caritas?
When they arrived, they immediately, automatically, they received permanent residence. It is the most important thing for them. It gives them a legal residence here. And then for the first half a year, they can stay for free in a hotel owned by the Interior Ministry. And during this time, they get an assistance from our Caritas. In the beginning, we helped them register in various systems, such as healthcare system. We help the children to start attending school. And of course, the most important thing, we help them finding jobs and permanent accommodation.
Getting a residence permit automatically, that is exceptional, isn't it?
Yes. It is because of their Czech roots.
Who were these people? I assume it was families with children?
Yes, mostly families with children. We also had a couple retired persons, but mostly people in their productive age, so people who are searching for jobs, families.
And where did they come from? Why did they leave?
These people had their ancestors who came from the Czech Republic to Ukraine. So now when the situation in Ukraine is politically not so stable, they took the advantage of this repatriation program that the Czech government is offering, and they decided to repatriate. This program that the government designed is not meant only for the Ukraine, the Czechs in Ukraine, but also for the Czechs in other parts of the world. But so far, people are coming mainly from Ukraine.
And was there a problem with the language barrier then, since most of them eventually started work and so on?
Yes. It is one of the biggest barriers. The elderly people speak Czech. They still remember in their families Czech was spoken, but young people, they know Czech a little bit passively, but they need to learn. We organize Czech lessons for them. And from our experience, their children are their teachers very often, because children start going to school basically second, third day after their arrival, children start attending school, and there they pick up very fast. So they come home and they teach their parents.
You said that their children went to school almost immediately. How were they received, and did the teachers, the schools, see this as a problem? Were they able to give them the extra assistance needed?
We have a great cooperation with the primary school in Milevsko. Milevsko is the closest town to the hotel of Interior Ministry in Červená nad Vltavou, where the families are staying. So all of the children in the beginning go there. And the school is very cooperative. It is not easy because they are accepting tens and tens of children who do not speak Czech at the beginning at all. But it's a matter of weeks that the children start picking up. And as you say, there is a need of more attention from the teachers. But as I say, the school is really excellent, and they are very cooperative.
Did they have special classes for them at the outset, or did they integrate immediately into regular classes?
They integrate regular classes immediately from the beginning.
How did you go about finding jobs and housing for the families? Where are they now?
There are two ways. The first one, which we are grateful for, is that companies and even local authorities send us offers of job, of positions. They offer to the compatriots. And the other way is through job centers, the regular way. So we try to offer as much possibilities as possible, and the compatriots select whatever would be suitable for them.
And what kind of jobs did they get? Was it in line with their qualifications, or did they have to settle for less?
Yeah, it depends on their qualifications, of course. There are many manual workers who usually find jobs in industry, in warehouses, as drivers or mechanicians. A good example, if I may be concrete, is a family, Sersheng, whom I met recently. Mr. Sersheng found a job in a company near Brno, the second largest town in the Czech Republic. The company creates prefabricated commercial buildings, and Mr. Sersheng works somewhere in a metal production unit. And his wife, she found a job in a small company in Brno making salads. So they both of them are working manually, and they are very satisfied. Mr. Sersheng told me that he is glad that his colleagues accepted him. He made friends there. They have a daughter, and she would like to continue in her studies. So they are saying they are doing better than they did in Ukraine. Of course, the language is still a problem. They understand very well, but fluent speaking is a problem. Certainly, they couldn't get a job in services where they would have to communicate with people face-to-face or in a written form. So it will take some time.
Right. I don't know where all these people are from, but are they sticking together here as a community, or have they sort of all gone their own ways?
Yes, in some cases. I would say in most cases. There are a couple of towns where they are heading because there is a smaller or bigger community already. So, for example, the place where Mr. Sersheng and his family moved, in Slavkov, in this town there are three, four, five couple families. They found a job in the same company.
Mm-hmm. And how were they received by the locals here?
We didn't have any negative experiences. Of course, sometimes there is a little bit of hesitance. For example, what we experience is sometimes the owners of flats are not very much willing to rent the flat to the Ukrainian Czechs. But when we as Caritas enter the negotiation, then we are able to explain the situation, and then the things usually can be settled positively.
Did any of them ask to return home because they were homesick, or to leave the country for another state? Was there any sign of disappointment?
They are not leaving. They are not going back. It is not the case. But talking about disappointment, usually when they come, They come with great expectations. Sometimes they find in the beginning that things do not proceed exactly the same way they expected or as far as they expected, and then they are disappointed. But they have to overcome, they do overcome this phase, and they start adapting and accepting new circumstances.
And how long will they be given support for?
The intensive part of the support lasts for a couple of months. It depends how fast they can integrate. But we are in touch with them even after the beginnings when they need advice. In some situation, they can contact us at any time, or they can contact local Caritas, because Caritas is operating in the whole of Czech Republic. So there are situations, for example, I recall a man called us that he got an amendment to his work contract, and he did not understand it, why it was given to him, etc. So he needed advice, he needed someone to consult this situation.
Do you know if there will be more Czechs from Volhynia coming over that you'll be helping?
Yes, the Czech embassy in Ukraine registers hundreds and hundreds of new applications for repatriation, so it is certain that the program will continue.
Jarmila Lomozova from the Catholic charity Caritas, who was speaking there to Daniela Lazarova. If you've got any comments about today's program here on Radio Prague, please do share them with us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook or via Twitter. But that's all for now, folks. From me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much indeed for listening to Radio Prague, and goodbye.